Today is Wednesday, May 3rd, or 8th day of the month of Iyar. This is the women's Mishnah share. We're studying 8th Perek of Maseches Chulin. Okay. On account of the fact that last week the Gemara described how long one has to wait between eating cheese, then to be followed by meat, you don't have to wait at all, but the Gemara recommended hadacha and kinuach, washing your hands and rinsing your mouth. Then discussed eating meat and then cheese, and the criteria was bein suda lesuda, from one meal to the next, and that's how all the spin-offs arrived, the German practice, the Rambam's practice. We had seen all that last week. Well, once the Gemara talks about washing your hands and rinsing your mouth in relationship to eating cheese and then meat, the Gemara now takes the opportunity to discuss all of the times that you have to wash your hands. Before the meal, after the meal, and we'll see what the reasons are, and a very famous machlokes between Tosfos and the Ravid. So I bracketed the Gemara for you. It's the same daf that we read last week. It's daf Kuf Hei Amud Aleph in Chulin. And I bracketed towards the bottom, Amar Rav Idi Bar Oven. So Rav Idi Bar Oven said, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Ashion, quoting Rav Yitzchak, the son of Ashion. Mayim Rishonim Mitzvah. Washing before a meal, before the meal, is a mitzvah. V'achronim, washing your hands after the meal, is chovah, is an absolute obligation. And the Gemara is going to say, chovah is stronger than a mitzvah. Yes? We're going to read the Gemara in a minute. Yes. Mayim rishonim is mitzvah, v'achronim chayva.
And mayim achronim is what we talk about.
But we talk about mayim achronim, right?
Yeah,
and we'll talk about it. Why?
Say mayim achronim vaser.
Right. Okay. No, the Gemara doesn't say only on Shabbos. We'll talk about it great deal tonight. Okay. Asks the Gemara, meisvei. I'd like to ask a question. There is a braisa that says, Mayim Rishonim Ve'achronim Chova. Mayim Rishonim and Achronim are Chova. And Emtsoiim Rishus. Emtsoiim Rishus. Yes, precisely. The washing of one's hands between courses. So, within our Gemara, let's assume you had a dairy entree and you're serving meat for a main dish. So that would require washing your hands. Or, what? What do you mean? Yeah, right, but that's not what this sugya is talking about.
Ritual washing or just washing?
Ritual, we'll see, with a cup and everything. Washing your hands, we'll see. So, but the Gemara said that Mayim Rishonim, this Braisa rather says that Mayim Rishonim and Achronim are Chova. And in the first opinion, it said only Mayim Achronim was Chova, but Mayim Rishonim was only a mitzvah. Answers the Gemara, mitzvah legabe Rishus. Chova karele. You're right. Mayim Rishonim is only a mitzvah. Only a mitzvah. So why did this Braisa call it a chova? Because this Braisa introduced something that the first opinion didn't talk about. That was the washing in the middle of the meal. That's Rishus. So if you compare a mitzvah to a Rishus, it becomes what? A chovah. So therefore, the Braisa used the expression that Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim are Chova, just as to serve as a sharp distinction between Mayim Emtzeiim, which was only Rishus. So if you're going to eliminate Mayim Emtzeiim in the middle of the meal, in between courses washing, you will remain with Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, and Mayim Achronim is a chova. That's the way, yeah.
Could you translate literally the phrase mitzvah legabe
rishut? Mitzvah legabe rishut. When I compare a mitzvah, which is a Mayim Rishonim, and I compare it to emtzeiim, which is rishus, chova kari luhu. The Mayim Rishonim elevates itself to an absolute obligation in comparison to the Mayim Emtzeiim. But if you were to compare Mayim Rishonim to Mayim Achronim, it's not really a chova, it's only a mitzvah.
Can I ask a question? For Rishonim, that was because you have to say a bracha. You know, to tell it, you have to do a bracha. For Achronim, it was the whole idea that they had sold from the so how is that higher?
Hold on, we'll see. That's a good question. Tosis is going to suggest that you there's a possibility that you might make a bracha for Mayim Achronim too. We'll see. We'll see what the issue is. That's what we're going to learn tonight. Yes?
Isn't a mitzvah?
No. It's more, you can do, by a mitzvah, of course, first of all, we're talking about a mitzvah mit Rabbanan here. Until she dies, it's not a doraisa. So there is a mitzvah, of course, to listen to the Chachamim and follow whatever they tell us. We read the Megillah, we light the menorah on Hanukkah. These are all mitzvot mit Rabbanan.
And the chova is a
doraita? Yes, it's based on a doraita. We'll talk about it in 2 seconds. It's based on a doraita. So if you don't, let's say, light the candles on Hanukkah, do you violate anything? No. You have a mitzvah to be mekayim the mitzvah. If you don't, you just don't get a mitzvah.
Right.
By chova, you violate the words of the Rabbanan who told you this is an imperative because it's based on a din d'oraita. We'll talk about it in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Those are good questions, though. They're very good questions. So, let's take a look at the Tosafot on the left-hand side. I bracketed it for you. And we will see what Tosfos says. Mayim Rishonim mitzvah v'achroinim chayva. Asks Tosfos. Bibrachot b'sof perik elu dvarim. And in Masechet Brachot, at the end of the 8th perik, Dorish tarvayhu mikra. They infer both the washing of the hands before the meal and the washing of the hands after the meal from a pasuk. What pasuk is there? It says, Vehis kadishtem vehiyisem kidoshim. That's what the phrase says. It's in this week's parsha. Vehis kadishtem vehiyisem kidoshim. Says the Gemara. Vehis kadishtem, how do you become sanctified? Elu mayim rishonim. This is water that you use to wash before the meal. Vehiyisem kidoshim, and thou shalt be holy, refers to what? Elu mayim achroinim. This is mayim achroinim. So if they are both derived out of the very same pasuk, how do we distinguish and identify one is a mitzvah and the other one is a chova? They should both be chovot or both be mitzvot, but there can't be any distinction if their origin is a common pasuk, 3 words written right next to each other in Vayikra chapter 19. How's it possible? Answers Tosfos, Ve'asmachta ba'almahu. It means it's not a serious drash. Not a serious drash. The word asmachta, lismoch, means to lean on. The rabbis looked for a pasuk to hang their hat on and say, you know what? The Torah alludes to what we're saying. So whenever you have a mitzvah midrabanan, where a gemara attaches a pasuk to it, that type of drash is not called a serious drash, it's called an asmachta. And asmachtas are not taken seriously as a legal source for a mitzvah. So what is the real legal source of the mitzvah? The rabbis. And the rabbis now made a distinction. Mayim Rishonim is a mitzvah, Mayim Achronim is a chova. They made that distinction. And they are the responsible for the mitzvah of, for the mitzvot of Netilat Yadayim. Not the pasuk. Even though the Gemara in Brachot says it's a pasuk, don't take the pasuk seriously as the makor, as the source. It's called an asmachta. It's that the rabbis make a pasuk, and in order to give it a little more clout, they attached it to a pasuk, even though the pasuk has nothing to do with washing your hands before or after a meal. So we've gotten that out of the way. It's not a d'oraita, and therefore the rabbis can identify differentiating obligations for Mayim Achronim and Mayim Rishonim.
But don't the Rabbanim also base it on something?
No. They can make up anything they want. Just as they did with the mitzvah of reading the Megillah. Just as they do with the mitzvah of putting up an Eruv. There's no source for it. They just said, put up an Eruv in an area which is not a Rishut HaRabim, but it's not a Rishut HaYachid. Like every street in Teaneck. Yes.
So wouldn't you say that the Rabbanim that would be from the Smachta, that the Smachta generated, would be stronger than just the Rabbanim?
No. The Gemara does not give it any additional clout. That's correct. It does not. So, now, says Tosfos, so now I'm going to explain to you the origins of each. The Hatama de Mayim Achronim Heva Mishum Melach Sedomit. The reason why they mandated washing your hands after the meal is because of salt that was used, coarse salt, and they were afraid that you were going to touch your eyes and get blind. So what mitzvahs asay is the Torah, are the Rabbanan protecting? The mitzvah that appears in our parsha this week. Either the one Ushmartem es nafshoseichem, or the mitzvah v'chai bohem, to promote life. And, asuma, if you're blind, you put your life in danger. So knowing that they did not have salt shakers, those didn't exist. And they know that every single meal, which is bread at the time of the Mishnah, must have salt, based on the pasuk found in Parshas Tzav, Al kol korbancha takriv melach, on all your korbanot you shall bring salt. And our tables have been described as the modern-day mizbeach. Therefore, it's an absolute chova, because we don't want you to do anything to what? To endanger your life. We saw once when we were doing the first parak, chamarta sakanta me'isura, that whenever there is a sakana to somebody's life, the rabbis are much stricter than they are by an isur and heter. So a safek derabanan, as to whether something is asur or mutter, if it's a safek derabanan, what's the halacha? You know the halacha. Lekula, you take the lenient approach. But if there is a safek sakana, a suffix whether something might pose a danger, you have to go l'chumrah. You can't take a chance with anybody's life, endangering somebody's life, just because it's only a derabbanan. You go l'chumrah. So here, Tosfot's opinion is that the entire institution of Mayim Achronim is related to this Melech Sedomit, and that's why Tosfot said even in his day it wasn't a terribly observed practice, because in Tosfot's time they already had a salt shaker, so you didn't come in court in contact.
I really think that salt would make you blind also, like you put salt water in your eyes.
Okay, but they believed it. They
it was
you. You're not an ophthalmologist. So, so right. I'm just telling you what they thought. Right. Kida'ama b'samach ve'anu, and we. Let's continue. Lefi she'ein melach sdomit. Matsui Beinenu, it's not just that they had salt shakers. They didn't use the coarse salt any longer for salt. They had much more granulated fine salt like we have. Lo nohagu b'mayim achronim. Therefore, in Ashkenaz, in European communities, which Tosfos is representing, they were not makpid on mayim achronim, because there was no danger any longer. So no, why bother doing it? Now, Tosfos says, I'll prove to you that which I said earlier, that the pasuk should not be taken literally, is indeed true. Because the pasuk actually continues with two other drashot. Besides v'his kadishten v'his and kadoshin, the pasuk offers a reason why you should be holy. Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I, God, am holy. So the Gemara has a drash on the word ki kadosh as well. It says Tosfos, I'm going to prove it to you. How do I know? The hachanami ki dorish hasam, as well, where they are darshaning there, ki kadosh zeh shemen shahayu sachin es yedehen laha avir es hazuama heve asmachta dulo matzinu b'shum makom shiyehe shemen lo chova v'lo mitzvah. From the word ki kadosh, they learn out that at the end of the meal you have to rub your hands with oil, shemen, in order to get the gzuhama, which means the grease and the grime, off your hands. Because it's inappropriate to recite Birchat HaMazon, which is learnt out from Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the last words, Zu Birchat HaMazon. It's not appropriate to recite Birchat HaMazon when your hands are greasy and grimy. Therefore, you're supposed to rub your hands with oil before you recite Birchat HaMazon. Said Tosfos, I haven't seen one person on this planet use shemen before Birchat HaMazon. So obviously the pasuk can't be taken seriously. Because if it was a serious drash, then you couldn't ignore the halacha that you're supposed to rub your hands with shemen. Since it's only in asmachta, various communities said, this is not up our alley. Taking oil and rubbing your hands with it.
Okay. And why wouldn't they just say use water? I mean, it's more effective.
No, because water, I don't know, it doesn't get grease off. Does not get grease off.
Oil gets grease off.
Oil is grease. Yeah,
I don't know. I've never tried, so I don't know.
What do you think about what's soap?
Soap, yeah, that's something like some, yeah. Now, continues Tosfos, v'ha da amar hasam, and that which the Gemara there in Brachot says, kishem shahamizuham pasul la'avoda, that just as a kohen who has grimy, greasy hands is disqualified from doing the avoda, the service, the ritual service in the mikdash, kach yodayim mizuhamot psulim libracha, so too greasy hands are disqualified for reciting Birchat HaMazon. So how did people just ignore this Gemara? The Gemara made an equation between a Kohen and a regular person. Just as a Kohen is not permitted to serve in the Mikdash, we're not permitted to recite Birchat HaMazon. So what does Tosis mean? Hey, I never saw anybody use the oil. You have to use the oil. Otherwise, what's the matter? Can't bench. Can't recite Birchat HaMazon. Says Tosis, Hainu Lohem Shahoya Hadavar Chova, Hahoya Hadavar Aleim Chova Litol Achar Su'uda. Lefikach Nechshavot Kimizuhamot Fitzorich Lahakdim Velitol Kodem Bracha. Says Tosis, that was only for them. Well, they had all kinds of problems. They had the Melech Zdomit. So once you had the Melech Zdomit, you had to do something before benching. What did you have to do before benching? Wash your hands. So once you were already doing something before benching, what else did they do before benching? They put the oil on too. But we, who have abandoned Melech Zdomit, and therefore we have abandoned Mayim Achroinim, we don't wash our hands necessarily before Birchat HaMazon, and therefore we don't put oil on our hands before Birchat HaMazon either. And the whole equation, which put this equation between a Kohen and washing hands for, that was for them, who had lots of activities before Birchat HaMazon. Namely, the obligation that I had to wash. Once you had to wash, they also put the oil on. Since we've gotten rid of the obligation to wash our hands, therefore, there is no practice as well putting oil on your hands. Yeah.
But how does that work? I mean,
how does what work?
I mean, abandoning
Abandoning a practice, because since it was instituted midrabanan, and the rabbanan themselves gave the reason for it, so the rabbis, there were great rabbis and rabbinic in European communities, all of the Balei HaTosfos, they made a decision: this practice is no longer needed. You can always get rid of a derabanan for which the reason is stated, but you need a big person.
So I understand that.
That's why we don't change anything today, because we don't have any big people. Yes.
I understand about not having to wash hands because that reason doesn't apply. I don't understand why not using oil.
Because their hands probably weren't greasy. That's all. Maybe they had better. Maybe they had some soap. Who knows?
But isn't that also thing that before you die,
we're gonna hold on. We're gonna see the Rambam. Hold on a second. Yes. We'll see. The what? That's also true. If you had eating utensils, you don't necessarily get grime on your hands when you pick up the roast beef. That's true. Maybe their eating utensils got better. That is correct. Right. And I shouldn't say that people never get rid of rabbinic prohibitions. It's rare. The Rav did it a couple of times, and he was criticized sharply for it. For shaving on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah, the Rambam, and the Gemara say flat out, you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara tells us why you're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Because they're afraid on Erev Yom Tov you're going to be lazy and say, I'll take a shave on Chol HaMoed. and you'll walk into Yom Tov, the first day of Yom Tov, looking like a slob. In order to make sure that you are clean shaven for the first day of Yom Tov, the rabbis prohibited shaving on Chol HaShamoed. There's no one who disagrees with it. Not anyone in Shulchan Aruch. The Rav said, today it's a mitzvah to shave on Chol HaShamoed. And I'll say, tell you why. Because he said, we know why they instituted the prohibition. But we also know that at that time in the Gemara, nobody shaved every single day. They didn't have electric shavers. People would go to a barber once a week and take a shave. So to tell you not to shave for a week is not the worst thing in the world. In our day and age, where it is customary, in the business world at least, to shave every single day, what happens if you listen to the rabbis, you undermine what they wanted to accomplish on the second days of Yom Tov. What does it look like? It looks like you just got up, Rachmanis Lalam, from Shiva. You haven't shaved from 7 days, and Shmini Atzeres, you look like you just got out of Shiva. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov also. So is the seventh day of Pesach. It requires that you should not look like a slob on the eighth day of Yom Tov. Therefore, the Rav said, in our day and age, where people shave every single day, it's a mitzvah to shave at least Erev Yom Tov of Chol HaShamoed, so that on Shmini Atzeres, you don't look like you just got out of Shiva. And the Rav was attacked mercilessly for saying that. Because that's not what the Shulchan Aruch says, not what the Rambam says, not what the Gemara says. But it happens to be a reason given for the Takana, and he felt that it's undermining the Takana. Same thing with taking a shower on Yom Tov. The Gemara says in Beit, so you're not allowed to take a shower on Yom Tov. You're only allowed to wash your hands, face, and feet with hot water on Yom Tov. Because in order to do any melacha on Yom Tov, it has to be what's called hana'a hashave l'chol nefesh. A benefit, an enjoyment that most people would think is appropriate. Something enjoyable that most people would do. So most people like eating steak, so therefore you're allowed to cook. But no one in the time of Tosfos took a shower every single day. No one did. They didn't have showers in the house every single day. You would go to a bathhouse again, usually once a week. So therefore, Tosfos writes, and quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, no full body baths or showers on Yom Tov. Says the Rav, today's times have changed. Everybody takes a shower and a bath, or shower every single day. So today it is Hana'a Hashave L'chol Nefesh. It's a benefit which everybody says we enjoy. And that's why he said you're allowed to take a shower on Yom Tov.
And we have indoor plumbing.
What? Yeah, and you can take advantage of it. Yes?
One. That because it's, you can do this with so many. With all.
That's fine. If it's the Rav, we'll take anything he said.
No, I would take something more dramatic than
that. Like what?
Second day of Yom Tov.
That's the difference. The second day of Yom Tov, there is nothing that we're undermining is not being accomplished here by not taking a shower on Yom Tov. You'll feel, if it's a 90 degree day on Shavuos or something, you feel like an unmensch. You don't feel good. So it undermines thing. Second day of Yom Tov doesn't undermine the spirit of what Chazal. So he didn't go around knocking out all Rabbanans. It's only where there is a reason, and the reason doesn't apply, and it's anti the reason. Observing it is undermining the very reason which they. Yes. Because once the rabbis tell us not to put on tefillin, we listen to the rabbis. It's always like that. The rabbis tell us not to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. The rabbis tell us not to take a lulav on the first day of Sukkot, whenever when it's Shabbos. So we always listen to the Rabbanan when they had a reason for it. When they had a reason. And what was the reason they wanted? Why did they tell us not to put on tefillin? Because otherwise, if you put on tefillin, you're going to think second day Yom Tov is a joke. You're davening a weekday davening, you're putting on tefillin, no one's going to take it seriously. In fact, that's the reason why they made Yom Tov Sheni into a full mitzvah, and full Yom Tov. It used to be Yom Tov Sheni was the half day. Namely, you davened a weekday davening, you put on tefillin, you just didn't do melacha.
That's a day and a half means
when they say yes. Yeah, well, a day and a half. But that's the way it, initially in the Gemara. Everybody went to work and took it as a joke. It's not really Yom Tov. So then the rabbi said, no, we're making this into a complete Yom Tov. You have a Yom Tov davening, no tefillin, you have to eat a meal and everything. Then, now, people observe the second day Yom Tov in America the way you should, the way you're supposed to.
That's
the way, it's not called a half, it's called the way Yom Tov Sheni was initially instituted. And it was changed, Mishum Zilzalusa. People were ridiculed, this is not a Yom Tov. If it was Yom Tov, you'd be davening a Yom Tov davening, saying in a Hallel, and putting on, and not putting on tefillin. Yeah. So that's what happened here. The Balei HaTosfos ruled that it's not necessary to have Netilas Yadayim anymore, therefore it's not necessary to have Shemen either. Asks Tosfos somebody's question, I forgot who asked this question. Vim Toimar. L'may nafkamina, what difference does it make? Hadar Rishonim mitzvah v'achroinim choiva. What difference does it make whether you identify something as a mitzvah or an obligation? If it's a mitzvah, you also have to do it, because the rabbis told you to do it. So what real difference is there by identifying something as a mitzvah versus a chova? Mali mitzvah, mali chova. Hortovayu chova. They're both obligated to be done. Kediktani bebraisa. Velo rishust. Washing your hands before a meal is not an option. You must wash your hands. So why do you call it a mitzvah? What difference does it make that you call it a mitzvah versus a chova? What difference does it make? So Tosfos will come up with a very unusual difference. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam. The Nafkamina Le'inyin Milchemes HaRashus. The difference is, if you're in the middle of battle, you're in the middle of a war, not a milchemes mitzvah, but a milchemes harashus. There are three types of wars that are defined as milchemes mitzvah. One, to kill Amalek. Two, to conquer and protect Medinat Yisrael. And three, to protect a Jew any place in the world who's in danger of losing his or her life. That's called milchemes mitzvah. The Gemara says there are no military exemptions for a milchemes mitzvah. All of the exemptions that the Torah writes in Parshat Shoftim, I built a house, I didn't have a chance to, I'm engaged, or you're a woman, none of those exemptions apply to milchemes mitzvah. You're obligated to fight and participate and aid the battle just like any man for milchemes mitzvah. Then there is milchemes rishus. Milchemes rishus is when the king decides he wants to expand the borders of Israel for taxation purposes or whatever it is. So during milchemes rishus, here comes the difference. You're in the middle of a battle. You stop for 5 minutes to eat. Do I have to go ahead and look for water to wash my hands before I eat? The answer is no, because it's only a mitzvah. But after the meal, do I have to look for water before I say Birchat HaMazon? Yes, because it's chova, because it can endanger the soldier's life. So the difference, says the Rabbeinu Tam, between a mitzvah and a chova is that during Milchemet Rashut, at times we waive certain mitzvot. The Torah allows waiving far greater things, far more serious things during war than not washing your hands before bread. The Torah writes black on white in the Chumash that a soldier is allowed to eat treifa meat during the war. He's allowed to eat treifa meat. Doesn't have to run around looking for a hechsher. Not Rabbanut, not the... what?
Okay.
Yeah, b'dats, right. Right. You don't have to. You can eat tarfus. So there are certain things which the Torah allows. So Tosfos says he doesn't have to waste 2 minutes looking for water to wash his hands before eating bread. But Mayim Achroinim, because it's Chayva, he has to spend time even during a war. How do I know? Disnan beperakama de Erevin, de berturin merechitzas yadayim. That soldiers during a Melchemet HaRashut are exempt from washing their hands. V'ka'amar Rav Chiya b'gemara lo shanu elamayim rishonim avel achroinim lo. They're only exempt from mayim rishonim but not mayim achronim. The amar Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya m'bnei ma amru mayim achronim chova m'bnei shemelach sdomis. Fine, very nice. Yes.
Why did you dispense with the one before the meal? Because you're
going to
need it anyway.
Oh, let's assume you didn't have enough. You only had one cup of water. So when do you save it for? Save it for after.
The thing is, if you need to eat now because you're starving, you need to eat and you have to have the water. When you're done eating, so you have a leeway of an hour or so to go find water before you bench and get your mind
the
horn. It's not as pressure.
In Mechamet Mitzvah, you're exempt from both?
In Mechamet Mitzvah, you're not exempt from Mayim Achroinim. Because again, it's a danger. But there are a lot more things that you're exempt from during the Melchemes Mitzvah. Now, Tosfos will deal with how come there is no bracha on Mayim Achroinim. Ubahalachos Gedolos Piresh. And now Tosfos quotes the Baal Halachot Gedolot Bahag. The Rishonim Shehein Mitzvah Mishum Srach Truma Tu'unin Bracha. Srach Truma Tu'unin Bracha. What exactly does this mean? He's giving you here in two words the origin as to why the rabbis make us wash our hands before we eat bread. Why the rabbis make our hands. It started only with Kohanim. There is a halacha, a given, that our hands are always considered a sheni l'toma. So let me just... I'm sure you did once. So let me just explain. Toma operates on a descending level order. From the time you start from the source of tumah to get touched, it's decreasing and less severe each time around. So the highest form of tumah is a dead person. He's called Avi Avot HaTumah, the grandfather of all tumahs. Somebody, a dead animal, for example, is just an Av HaTumah, not Avi Avot. It's an Av HaTumah. Now, when an Av HaTumah touches either a person or a utensil or a food, it becomes a Rishon. A Rishon L'Tumah. So when an Av touches either me or you, an Av HaTumah, a dead animal, touches me or you, or a person who was in contact with the deceased. The deceased is the Avi Avot HaTumah, the person becomes the Av. That person now touches you, you become a Rishon. that food becomes a rishon, that utensil becomes a rishon. Now, when I touched you and you became a rishon, if you touch another person, that person does not become a sheni, because it's going in decreasing order. A rishon can only be metame ochlin umashkin. A rishon can only be metame food and drink, not a utensil and not a person. So if I was the av hatuma and I touched you, you became the rishon. You touch a utensil, the utensil remains tahor. You touch another person, the person remains tahor. You touch food, the food becomes a sheni latoma. Okay? That's the normal process based on Torah law. However, there are two things that can become a shlishi and even a revi l'tumah. Truma can become tameh even if it only touched a sheni. So how did it touch a sheni? You had an orange that was touched by a person who was a rishon. So the orange is a sheni. The sheni now touches another, an apple, which is truma, which belongs to a kohen. That truma now becomes truma tameya. And the kohen is not allowed to eat truma tameya, he has to burn it. Has to burn it, he's not allowed to eat it. Then there is one thing that can become tameya up to a revi, that's anything associated with a korban. The meat, the flour of a korban mincha. So if that apple touched what? Touched the meat of a korban, the meat of the korban is tamei, and we're not allowed to eat it, it has to be burnt. Okay? So everybody got the rules. So normally you go, everything can become a rishon, food and drink can become a sheni, truma can become a shlishi, and kudshim can become a revi. Fine. Now, in order to protect truma, which can become a shlishi, the rabbis imposed on every kohen that their hands are automatically a sheni latuma. Their hands. Just their hands. Why are their hands automatically a sheni latuma? Because what do you touch things with? Most of the time with your hands. So you'll have this absent-minded kohen who touched. No, he doesn't have to touch regular food that is tamei, and then touch something that's truma and make it tamei. So the rabbis ruled that every kohen's hand is a sheni latuma. So if it's a sheni latuma, as soon as he picks up any piece of truma, what's going to happen to the truma? It's going to become tamei and he won't be able to eat it. So the rabbi said, you know what you do? Wash your hands, netilat yadayim. If you wash your hands before you eat truma, we will make sure that will now declare that your hands are not a sheni latuma. And if you're not a sheni latuma, you pick up your truma and it remains tehora. So the entire institution of washing hands before bread was initially instituted only for Kohanim. In order to remind the Kohanim to do what they're supposed to do, Shlomo HaMelech Ubeit Dino said, every Jew has to wash your hands before you eat bread. To keep the idea of Tahara circulating in the Kohen's mind. So now that the Kohen sees that I wash my hands before I start eating, he'll remember to wash his hands before he starts eating truma too.
So we're not eating anything, not just if it was for that reason.
No, they said that you don't have to wash unless you eat bread.
But how does that help the Kohen? Reminder.
Because 99% of all meals at that time were bread-centered.
Not anymore, because now it's free.
Okay. I know. Right? Yes, I know. Eating habits have changed. Yes. And I told you what Rav Yoel ben Nun suggested. That you should change the laws of Berchat HaMazon today. Yeah. That you should bench when you eat steak, mashed potatoes, and salad. You should bench.
By the way, isn't meat shackle?
Yes.
It's like shackle at the end. It's really the most important part of the meal. So if you're eating a meal, and you're eating, I always wonder about this. So you're eating potatoes, you got to make that dhamma first, and eat vegetables, and then you're eating the chicken, but that's the most important part of the meal.
Okay, so there is, some paiskim who say that you have a right not to follow the sequence of normal brachot, and whatever you like most, you can make the bracha first. There are some who post it that way. Even though most people still say you do it that way, the potatoes, and then the meat is last. Yes, the mizonos, right, exactly. Right. Yes. So now, they created this idea to protect truma. Now, protecting truma is a mitzvah. The pasuk says, mishmeret terumotai. Mazalit mishmeret, to guard. You're supposed to guard the truma not to become tame. Hence, says the Bahag, that's why there's a bracha. Because it's in effect an extension of a fulfillment of the mitzvah of the Torah. Mishmeret terumotai. So it's, that's a doraita for truma. Not for our piece of bread. But since the rabbis based it on the guarding of truma, therefore there is a bracha of Asher Kedeshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al netilat yadayim before you eat bread. Before you eat bread.
Can I just ask one other question? For different types of truma, you do different things. Like when you wake up in the morning, you do netilat yadayim for that reason. For certain things, you need the paraduma, right? For certain types of... So how is it that the Kohen's able just to wash his hands and get rid of the...
Because...
He could have touched it, because that isn't appropriate.
That is correct. Because it's talking about a Kohen who knows for a fact that he didn't touch anything that was Tameh. He knows that he's really Tahar. It's the rabbi who automatically imposed on his hands, we're considering your hands because of the absentee-minded Kohen.
Okay. So
but most Kohanim, correct. Normally, if you are really Tameh, washing your hands accomplishes nothing. You have to go to the mikvah. Either mikvah or paraduma if you came in contact with the deceased. Correct, yes.
When did the institution of washing your hands, if you go to Levaya,
it's a pure minhag.
Is it really?
There's no din that you have to wash your hands because it doesn't accomplish anything. In order to become tar, if you went to a cemetery, you have to be sprinkled with the ashes of the paraduma on the third and the seventh day at post coming in contact. So we just... What? I know. That's correct. That's why washing your hands from the little thing, it's a minute. It's a minute. It's not alpidin. It's not required alpidin. Yes?
What about water on vegetables?
Water on
what? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me save that a little later. The way we do karpas, say the night. Right. That's because... It's a strange halacha. That's because there's a halacha l'moshim yisinai that water that comes in contact with even a sheni l'tuma becomes a rishon. Any water that comes in contact with a sheni l'tuma, it becomes a rishon.
Liquid or water?
Any liquid, not every liquid. There are seven liquids that accomplish this trick. Seven liquids. So therefore, if I have a fruit, which was tahar, okay? My hands are declared by the rabbis as what?
Sheni
Lutoma. If I'm going to take a fruit and dip it into liquid, it's only when it's dipped into a liquid, what now happens to the liquid? It makes the liquid a rishon l'tuma. It goes from a sheni, it goes up. It's the only thing that goes back up to a more severe. Now, what's going to happen to the apple when I touch it with my... what's going to happen? It's going to become a sheni l'tumah. So I'm causing tumah. So when you eat fruits or vegetables that are dipped into liquids, what did the Chachamim say in order to avoid that? You have to wash your hands first. That's why they did it in the time of the Gemara. Today, where we couldn't care less about Tum and Tahara because there's no Beit HaMikdash, we abandoned that. We only do it Pesach at night because we're trying to recreate, like it's the Seder and the Beit HaMikdash, and have kids ask questions. And the Taz is very upset. The Taz and Shulchan Aruch says, why don't we do it all year? He's the only one on the world who said we should do it all year. Yes. Yes. Only because it's dipped. If it was not dipped, you wouldn't have to wash before karpas.
So when you rinse off the vegetable, that wouldn't make it?
Of course. When you rinse off the vegetable, that would make it. Yes, 100%. As long as it comes in contact with water when you're pleased, not when you're not pleased. It has to be lirtzon chem. I'm pleased that it came. So what do you do when you wash off the thing? You're pleased that you're getting the bugs and the dirt off. Yeah. What? So there is oil, wine,
blood,
milk, water. No, fruit juices are not. Yes, dvash. Yes, honey. There you got most of them there. Milk, honey, oil. Yes, yeah, I forgot the seventh.
They were washing so much, and there was such a scarcity of water.
That is true. That is true. That's why when you go in tours in Yerushalayim, what do you find in almost everybody's house? A mikveh. You have a mikveh in almost everybody's house. Because they were worried about Tum and Tahara because they had to go on the Beis HaMikdash. Today we're not concerned about it. So that's why he claims that there is no bracha on Mayim Achronim. Because the only reason why there's a bracha on Mayim Rishonim is because it's somehow related to the mitzvah of protecting Truma. Mayim Achronim is just the physical protection. We don't make a bracha when we do something to protect our bodies from potential damage. We don't make such a bracha. So that's why he says there's no bracha for Mayim Achronim. There is a bracha for Mayim Rishonim. So says Tosfos. Then he concludes, Umikan Kosav Rabbeinu Yehuda Beperek Rama Madlikin Betosefta She'ein Levarech Al Kriyat Shema Shelifnei Mitaso Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvotav Tzivanu Likro Shema. Based on this, the Rabbeinu Yehuda said, before you recite Kriyat Shema Al Hamita, which the rabbis tell us to say, you do not make a bracha, asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav tzivanu likro et shema. Why not? Says the Rabbeinu Yehuda. Because what's the purpose of reciting kriyat shema al hamita? To protect you from mazikin, from demons and this and from that. So since it's only designed for protection, it doesn't earn a bracha. Doesn't earn a bracha. That's what the Rabbeinu Yehuda says. What? What's a deraisa? No, but it's not talking about the Kriya Shema which you say during Maariv. It's talking about Kriya Shema Al Hamita, which you only say the first paragraph. You don't say the whole three, all three parshas of Shema. And you already yotzei the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Now, Rashi, at the beginning of Masechet Brachot, vehemently disagrees with this Rabbeinu Yehuda. Rashi says that in my community and in all communities of Europe, they davened Maariv before Tzeita Kochavim. Just like in America, 90% of all shuls davened Maariv before Tzeita Kochavim. So tonight, Tzeita Kochavim is about 8:40. Every shul, okay, so some shuls have late minyanim for Maariv, but most shuls don't. As this is a Teaneck five towns thing. But years ago, even in Teaneck, there was no such thing as a late minion in any shul when I moved into Teaneck. So either you came, it was hard enough to get a mincha, one minion, mincha mar bizman. Fine. So Rashi says, Rashi is of the opinion that in Kriyat Shema you only have to say the first parsha. According to Torah law, you don't have to say the second and the third parshiyot. Therefore, Rashi says, you know when you fulfill your mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema Lamita. When you go to bed. But even Rashi says you don't say the bracha, Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu, because what's the real place where to fulfill the Shema? What's the real place to fulfill the Shema? In the middle of Maariv. And it's surrounded by brachot. So whenever you have a mitzvah that is surrounded by brachot, it doesn't have its own birchat hamitzvah. It doesn't have its own birchat hamitzvah. Because it's surrounded by brachot. So the Rabbeinu Yehuda says that this Gemara, which said you don't make a bracha on Mayim Achroinim, is the source why you don't make a bracha on Kriya Shema Al Hamita. It's called a bracha surrounded by other brachas. A mitzvah. There's no halachic term. There's no halachic term. No. It's why if we were to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah the way the Mishnah conceived it. The Mishnah never heard of blowing shofar before Tfilas Musaf. What we call Tkiyas de Miyushav. That was instituted way later for people who were sick and couldn't stay for the whole Musaf, or people who were elderly who couldn't stay for the whole Musaf, so they wanted them to hear Tkiya Shofar. So they blew 30 sounds and they made a bracha for them. Everybody else only heard the sounding of the shofar in Shmon Esrei. And there was no bracha. Why? Because it's surrounded by Malchiyos, Zichronos, and Shofros. So any time you have a mitzvah that is surrounded or it's designed to be performed within the framework of a series of brachot, it doesn't get its own birchat ha-mitzvah. And there are many such examples. That's why there is no bracha on the Haggadah. How come there's no bracha? I'm sure you must have discussed this at some seder. How come Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvot v'tzivanu al Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's a mitzvah d'oraita. The answer is, because it's surrounded by brachot. There's Kiddush, the bracha of Goal Yisrael, Birchat HaMazona, the bracha of Hallel. Therefore, it doesn't get a Birchat HaMitzvah. There are a lot of such examples. A lot of such examples.
But there are brachot in the Seder.
Yes, they are. But the question is, why isn't there a Birchat HaMitzvah? Like we make a bracha on most other mitzvot. This is a mitzvah which we're performing. The mitzvah of Vigadat Olavincha. Concludes Tosfos. V'im toimar ichlod efregen akasha. Emtzaim. The washing of your hands in the middle of the meal. Kigon ben gvina lebasar. Shehein l'tzorech mitzvah. You tune in bracha. They should require a bracha. What mitzvah are they is somehow designed to protect or to fulfill? Washing your hands. Not eating meat and cheese together.
So
not
if they
eating.
Have a meal, they have like cheese like the way we would do with fish, and then have a drink of water, and then go ahead with the meat meal?
That's correct. That's what would... Yeah, yes. Yeah. I don't know if they necessarily did it, but they could. They must have done it. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking about it. There must have been a fairly standard practice. So why is there no bracha? So Tosfos answers, because it's not really a mitzvah. V'yesh loimar, de'ein zekiim hechsher achila. It's not a mitzvah to eat meat after you eat cheese. That's what you want to do. So what does it do, the washing of the hands and the rinsing of the mouth? It prepares you, it allows you to what? To eat it. just like he says, kigon nikur chelev umalichas basar. We don't make a bracha when we carve, when the butcher carves out the fat that you're not allowed to eat. We don't make a bracha when you salt the meat to take the blood out. Because there's no mitzvah to eat meat. No mitzvah. So you want to eat it, but you're not allowed to eat it because of the blood that if you take a pot and put a piece of meat in, the blood is going to be purged. And then, through the continued application of heat, what's going to happen? It's going to get reabsorbed into the meat. And you're not allowed to eat blood. So what do you have to do? You have to salt the meat and get the blood out. If the blood has not left its original cavity, under those circumstances, it's not usser. Not usser. That's why you're allowed to broil meat over an open flame and not have to salt the meat.
That's why you can salt a large, large piece of meat. You wouldn't pull the blood out and set it off.
Right?
You don't have that thin slices.
Correct. That's correct. So Tosus says the washing of hands, emtsiim, between meat, a cheese, and then meat, it's not a mitzvah. Because there's no mitzvah to eat meat after cheese, or to eat cheese first. As a result, and today, you know when people would have this? Shavuos, they would have this issue. Because there are a lot of people who don't believe in the minhag of eating cheese. They're mamash apikarsim, having a dairy meal. Even I say you should eat dairy meal on first day of Yontif. But there are some people who have a meat meal afterwards. A milchi kiddush, okay. Okay, right. Okay, that's why you don't need a bracha. Because it's not a mitzvah. So this Tosfos gave us a lot of different information. Gives us the origin of Mayim Achronim, why it's a chayva, why it doesn't have a bracha, what is the origin of Mayim Rishonim, why it does have a bracha, right? Why we don't do Mayim Achronim. Yeah, he said, because we don't use the coarse salt. That's it, that's the reason. Because that was the only reason why it was instituted. However, there are those who disagree. So next week, hold on to the... I'll take these sheets, I'll save them. I don't have to run them off again. We'll see the Rambam and the Ravid who have completely different sheetot. The Rambam... That's because they like to make themselves look frum on Shabbos. There's no difference between doing Mayim Achronim on a Tuesday and on a Shabbos. On a Shabbos, you sit and you have guests, or we're not going to Mayim Achronim. Yeah. During the week, you couldn't care less what the people think of you. What? You can keep it. You can keep it. Just bring it next week. That's all.
We have a stone that we took out of the Dead Sea with salt on it. We put it on the table on the Shabbos as a conversation piece. And everyone says, why do you have it? We say it's for Mayim Achronim, so you should touch it. So we actually have a reason to do Mayim Achronim. It's a conversation piece.
Now, you should know, there's a halacha you have to know about that. Stones are normally muktzah.
Okay,
cannot be moved.
But is it a real stone?
It's a stone. Stones are muktzah.
It has something on it that I want to eat.
No, but that's it. If you set it aside for Shabbos because I want to use it, that's what I'm saying. That's what you have to do.
Well, that's just it. I know. It's actually
When I'm walking a little today, yeah.
They put like a meshing also because that's what's so powerful.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. And she said her stitches hurt a lot. That's all.